The 2018 midterm is over, and it appears Nevada saw a significant blue wave roll over the state. To talk about some of the results, KUNR's senior political reporter Paul Boger is joining me live in the studio. Thanks for joining me, Paul, and man, you've stayed up all night working on this.
Absolutely. I'm consisting off a pretty steady stream of sugar and caffeine right now, so the crash is going to be epic, but I'm feeling pretty good right now.
All right. So let's start off by breaking down some of the biggest results here, the ones for governor and the Senate.
Yeah, I think the two races had different tones and represented two different views voters wanted for the state and the nation. In the governor's race, Sisolak really talked a lot about following in Brian Sandoval's footprints. You know, he is the incumbent governor, or he is the sitting governor, I should say, and he's incredibly popular. And Sisolak talked a lot about building on his successes, and I think that resonated with voters. On the other hand, for the Senate race, Rosen really capitalized on her campaign being a referendum on not only Dean Heller, but the Trump administration in general. Throughout that campaign, Rosen really hammered Heller on his votes on health care and his ties to the president. So I think when you look at those two races, they really represented what a lot of voters have talked about through this campaign, both nationally and here in the state. And Nevada is one of the few states where we saw that supposed blue wave come to fruition. If you look at the national results, it just wasn't there in a lot of places. Yes, the Democrats picked up the House, but you saw them lose ground in the Senate, which is what a lot of folks feared. In large part, that blue wave is thanks to the political machine the Democrats have built here in Nevada. And that comes down to turnout. We've talked ad nauseum about turnout here over the last few months. And what we saw statewide is that 62% of active registered voters here in the state voted yesterday or in early voting. Now, that is less than 2016, where we saw about 76% of voters turn out, but it's significantly more than the last midterm in 2014, where only about 45% of voters turned out.
So how have Sisolak and Rosen's victories affected down-ballot races?
Sisolak and Rosen really carry the day for the rest of the Democrats on the ballot. Many of those down-ballot executive branch races were razor-thin for most of the night, and it's only been within the last hour or two that we've seen some space opening up in those races. And without that boost from those high-profile races like Sisolak, like Rosen, and the heavy voter turnout, this very likely wouldn't have happened. And the only Republican to survive last night seems to be Secretary of State Barbara Sagavsky. And honestly, I don't have a good explanation as to why that particular race is an outlier, but it is. And it looks like at this point she will be the Secretary of State for another 4 years.
So there was an interesting possibility that Nevada could have become the first state to elect a female majority state legislature, but that did not come to fruition, right?
It did not. Coincidentally, though, Nevada will now have a majority female congressional delegation and is one of only five states to have two female senators. So I do think that is interesting. But Nevada will continue to lead the nation when it comes to the state legislature and the number of women holding office in that particular body. Democrats will also control the legislature with a comfortable buffer in the assembly, with a slight edge in the Senate. Actually, the same exact results that we saw in 2016. For the 2017 session, it'll be the same majority there. But, you know, that leads to the importance of electing a Democratic lieutenant governor. In the Senate, there's 21 senators, and if there's a tie, the Democrats will need a Democratic lieutenant governor to break that tie and vote in their favor. Which leads me also to one of the more bizarre elections in this particular election cycle.
Yeah, tell me about that.
That's, you know, Dennis Hoff running for the assembly. Mr. Hoff is the late Mr. Hoff, I should say, passed away last month, and, you know, he won last night. So what's going to happen now is a very complicated process, but essentially the commissioners in Nye County will select who will replace him. We don't know who that's going to be, but we'll likely get somebody in the next couple weeks.
So I want to switch gears for a little bit and talk about some of the ballot questions. What were some of the results there?
Yeah, so all but question three passed. So there were six questions on the ballot. All of them saw pretty significant approval by the voters, with the exception of three, which saw significant opposition, I should say. And it highlights the heavily partisan split on some of these questions, specifically question 2, 5, and 6. 2 was the repeal of the pink tax of feminine hygiene products. Question 5 was automatic voter registration. Question 6 being increasing the state's renewable portfolio standards. Those were heavily favored by Democrats, and you saw that those particular questions won with about the same margin as most of the Democratic races across the state.
All right. Paul Boger is the senior political reporter for KUNR. Thanks for joining us, Paul, and hopefully you'll get some sleep soon.
Pretty soon.